Have you ever wondered why you can't stick to your goals despite your best intentions? Why that diet failed, that exercise routine fizzled, or that new habit never took hold? You're not alone. In her groundbreaking book, Unstoppable Brain, Dr. Kyra Bobinet reveals the hidden neurological mechanism sabotaging your efforts. The habenula, a tiny brain structure that functions as a motivation kill switch whenever you perceive failure. Drawing from 3 decades of research across neuroscience, psychology, and medicine, Dr. Bobinet, a Harvard-trained physician who struggled with her own behavioral challenges, offers a revolutionary approach to lasting change. This isn't just another self-help book. It's a paradigm shift that's garnered attention from institutions like Stanford and Harvard, where Bobinet lectures regularly. Her work has transformed thousands of lives through her company, Fresh Try, and now she reveals how we can all escape the matrix of performance-based approaches that set us up to fail and discover the iterative mindset that makes us truly unstoppable. Our society is drowning in a performance mindset that has become the invisible matrix in which we swim. From smart goals to step tracking to social media metrics, we've turned life into a constant competition. Dr. Carol Dweck identified 2 goal orientations, performance goals, seeking favorable judgments of competence, versus learning goals, seeking to increase competence. The problem? Performance mindsets have taken over virtually every aspect of our lives. This performance approach presents an illusion of success while causing significant harm. Research shows it reduces the value of effort, increases anxiety, and is associated with cheating behaviors. Performance mindsets only succeed under very specific conditions. For those with already high self-efficacy, only in areas of expertise, only for simple tasks, and only when rules are consistent. In health and wellness, performative approaches like diet challenges and fitness apps create temporary results with devastating side effects. Studies reveal these apps trigger harmful behaviors, including number fixation, rigid dieting, obsession, and dependency. The diet industry's 80% weight recurrence rate proves performance mindsets fail the vast majority. Even gold standard programs like the Diabetes Prevention Program show only a 1% difference in long-term weight maintenance between intervention and control groups. When performance mindsets infect relationships, we become shadows of ourselves rather than authentic beings. Dating apps create shopping for humans experiences where people are either worthy or disposable, with 56% of women experiencing harassment. Ghosting occurs when the gap between what we're performing and what we're actually feeling becomes unbearable. Even elite entertainers suffer under performance pressure. Jim Carrey lost himself so completely in character that it took a month to remember who I was. Brad Pitt's perfect life crumbled under struggles with addiction. Child actors are 3 times more likely to use drugs than average kids their age. Selena Gomez battled depression and panic attacks that struck right before getting on stage or right after leaving. The sports world reveals similar patterns. Lance Armstrong's doping scandal, 15-year-old Kamila Valieva's Olympic drug controversy, and Simone Biles withdrawing from competition all demonstrate the extreme pressure athletes face. Youth sports have become hyper-competitive, with year-round commitments replacing unstructured play. The "it's not about winning" adage proves hollow as 95% of kids get weeded out, benched, or quit altogether. Corporate America epitomizes performance mindsets gone wrong. Performance-based structures create toxic environments where workers constantly look over their shoulders during layoff season. Studies show laid-off workers face twice the risk of depression, 4 times the risk of substance abuse, and significantly increased suicide risk. Even survivors suffer from anxiety, insecurity, and survivor guilt. Performance mindsets aren't inherently bad. They're excellent for short-term, fixed-rule achievements. The problems arise when humans overuse them for ongoing endeavors like careers or health journeys. Brain research shows that extrinsic motivation circuits terminate in the posterior cingulate cortex, creating feelings of disempowerment. This explains why performing, when done long enough, inevitably leads to failure. The biggest gap in life is between knowing and doing. Why do we struggle to take action, even when we know what's good for us? The answer lies in a tiny brain structure called the habenula, our motivation kill switch. The habenula affects addiction patterns in profound ways. In rats, cocaine use causes cumulative degeneration of the habenula, weakening the brakes that would stop further drug use. Similarly, heroin addicts show smaller habenula, suggesting the brain structure atrophies from overuse. Beyond dopamine control, the habenula connects to serotonin and norepinephrine systems and affects impulsivity, creating a triple threat for addiction by driving cravings, lowering rewards, and increasing impulsivity. The habenula also explains how adverse childhood events, ACEs, create motivation loss. Children facing overwhelming traumatic experiences develop a sense of powerlessness as their habenula repeatedly activates, telling them, "This is pointless." Research confirms early trauma in mice induces a sensitized habenula with increased reactivity to stress. Studies show connections between perceived racism, helplessness, and depression, with the habenula playing a central role. Additionally, the habenula influences sleep regulation. Located near the pineal gland, which produces melatonin, the habenula's neurons follow circadian patterns. Research shows that activating the habenula in mice mimics how chronic stress affects sleep, causing more non-REM sleep, less wakefulness, and depression-like behaviors. The habenula also explains how unconscious and subconsciously steals motivation without leaving evidence, causing people to blame themselves instead. This creates a vicious cycle of disempowerment, depression, and self-judgment. People with multiple habenula hits from adverse childhood events or discrimination develop an inability to act in their own interest, explaining why some individuals don't seek available healthcare or support. Jennifer's story illustrates how people become trapped in the healthcare matrix. Despite following every diet trend since her teens and working harder than anyone to avoid layoffs, she developed diabetes in her 40s, followed by multiple health conditions requiring numerous medications. Even after bariatric surgery, she developed drinking problems and regained weight. Despite these challenges, she continued working in a stressful environment before tragically dying from pancreatic cancer. This story highlights the glaring no-do gap in healthcare. Despite executives repeatedly declaring that healthcare is broken at conferences, nothing changes. One explanation is financial. The U.S. spent 17.8% of GDP on healthcare in 2021, projected to reach $4.7 trillion by 2023. Healthcare's revenue model is built around our decline. Costs increase exponentially as death approaches. The diet industry exemplifies how companies profit from failure. Modern dieting began with William Banting's 1863 booklet that became so popular it inspired the question, "Do you bant?" Today's diet companies use sophisticated behavior science marketing tactics featuring before and after photos and promises of fast results through unsustainable, performative methods, expensive food kits, strict regimens, and weekly weigh-ins. These companies manipulate the habenula by invoking just enough failure and shame to make you feel dependent on their products without triggering so much that you abandon their program entirely. The modern diet industry began with Weight Watchers in 1963, spawning competitors like Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, and Atkins. Even newer companies like Noom, despite claiming not to be a diet, use unsustainable performative tools. The fundamental problem is that diets are temporary by definition, not designed for sustainable lifestyle change. As Dr. Giles Yeo notes, there is no one singular right diet. People must find what works for them biologically, psychologically, and lifestyle-wise. The industry's latest trend is GLP-1 prescription drugs, which cost thousands monthly and carry serious side effects like muscle loss, yet are marketed as necessary because obesity is framed as an inevitable genetic disease. Interestingly, GLP-1 is naturally produced in our bodies downstream of oxytocin, the connection hormone. In our disconnected modern society, where we're constantly on devices and separated from family, we may be experiencing oxytocin deficiency syndrome. This deficiency potentially underlies societal problems like political tribalism, addiction, and mental health issues as people desperately try to raise their oxytocin levels through unhealthy means. Many companies, particularly diet companies, profit from our failure. It's their business model. We become marionettes, trading authenticity for safety and security. Dr. Gábor Maté explains that children must choose between authenticity and belonging, often sacrificing their true feelings to be accepted. This pattern continues into adulthood, where we perform to belong, becoming so disconnected from our authentic selves that we develop depression. Failure disease is a silent killer of motivation that we cannot feel or see. Learning about its forms and internalized voices offers us a chance to free ourselves. When we think we've failed, our brain's habulela lights up and kills motivation, leaving us feeling unmotivated and inadequate. Distinct patterns of failure trigger different responses: anxiety, depression, procrastination, or OCD. Most failure hides in plain sight, mistaken for our own thoughts or feelings. Neutralizing perceptions of failure is our biggest opportunity to prevent anxiety, depression, and motivation loss. Three fundamental rules govern failure disease. 1. It's not a matter of if failure happens, but when. Like the adage, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Things that work, then fail, follow the same pattern. The biggest mistake in thinking is believing what works now will work forever. 2. Failure manifests in more ways than historically thought. Previous behavior change programs incorporated some psychological aspects but didn't address failure comprehensively. 3. Failure must be neutralized. Perceived failure is the number one reason people fail at weight loss and other behavior changes. Neutralizing failure involves reframing the past, harm-reducing the present, and preventing future failure. To overcome the habulela's power, we need to identify where perceptions of failure may be hiding in our psyches. Here are the most common failure types. All-or-nothing thinking. This most consequential failure type builds around rigidity and absolutism. Examples include abandoning a diet completely after one slip-up or quitting exercise entirely if unable to maintain previous performance levels. The solution is approaching behavior change as an experiment rather than with fixed goals or specific outcomes. Shoulding. The concept of should creates an impossibility system where we never succeed and only fail by relating our behaviors to a perfect world that doesn't exist. Forms include should be done over, shouldn't have happened, should have done it, and should already be there. The remedy involves questioning the inner judge using Byron Katie's 4-step inquiry. Comparison thinking. Previously limited to childhood and adolescence, comparison thinking has reached unprecedented levels through social media's influence. Studies show teenage and young adult users who spend the most time on social platforms have 13 to 66% higher rates of depression than those who spend the least time. The remedy is recognizing you can be your kind of good and celebrating your growth. I used to be able to, thinking. This failure type keeps people stuck in the past. People get trapped in the loss of these self-images, unable to appreciate the present or try new things because they can't perform as they once did. The remedy requires updating one's self-image and accepting current reality. Pre-failing. This failure type surrenders before even starting. You mentally play out inevitable failure, trigger your habulela, and lose motivation to try. The antidote is loosening fear's grip by taking small steps towards courage. Nothing ever works for me. This failure type creates dead ends by labeling everything as failure. It's particularly dangerous when attempting small steps or simple habits. The remedy involves acknowledging survival as proof something worked and reframing experiences to identify what was learned. Been there, done that. This represents a deep habulela scar from past attempts. People who've tried various approaches often categorically eliminate other options, misinterpreting what was actually flawed in previous attempts. The solution is reframing to open their constricted perspective. Imposter syndrome. The highest performers share one common trait, imposter syndrome. This condition prevents individuals from internalizing their success, creating persistent self-doubt, anxiety, depression, or fear of being exposed as frauds despite objective evidence of their accomplishments. Helping those with imposter syndrome requires gradually shifting from self-criticism to healthier motivational energies like love and gratitude. What all failure disease types share is that they're merely stories, perceptions, illusions, not reality. This is profoundly hopeful news. You can rewrite your story. The liberating conclusion: you primarily fail because you think you failed. Failure itself is an illusion. The terms habits and lifestyle have been commercialized into marketing buzzwords, but in neuroscience, these terms have precise meanings governed by biological rules. The brain has two primary mechanisms for permanent behavior change: one, habits that develop slowly through repetition, and two, significant emotional events, SEs, that create swift, intense change. True habits feel frictionless, silent, and mindless. They're your brain's default algorithms that operate automatically. The opposite of a habit feels uncomfortable and unnatural, like placing your non-dominant thumb on top when interlacing fingers, which quickly becomes irritating and difficult to maintain. Habits form through repetition within a habit loop, a cycle connecting a cue to a routine to a reward. When you consistently repeat a behavior that provides rewards, your brain eventually forms new neural networks through neuroplasticity, recognizing this as your new way of living. The greatest misconception about habits is thinking we can eliminate old ones by creating new ones. When we form a new habit, the old neural pathway doesn't disappear. It remains available for relapse. Finding yourself back on the old habit highway isn't failure. It's natural and inevitable, especially when tired, stressed, or triggered. Forget the myth that habits form in 21 days. Research shows even early habit automaticity takes 8 to 10 weeks of repetition. The most powerful habits eventually integrate into your identity, your narrative self, or I am vault. When a habit becomes part of your self-image, I am a smoker, it becomes extraordinarily difficult to change. For lasting transformation, new behaviors must eventually enter this identity vault, or they'll inevitably fade. Significant emotional experiences create the second pathway to lasting change. These profound experiences can transform the brain just as powerfully as habits, but they work through different mechanisms. Trauma creates instant neural changes through adrenaline that acts like superglue, binding activated neurons into a strong protective network. PTSD physically alters the brain by increasing stress hormones like cortisol, cementing fear responses into memory centers. Positive significant emotional experiences can transform the brain just as powerfully as trauma. Dacher Keltner of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center has extensively studied how experiences of awe, gratitude, and compassion create lasting neural changes. Awe specifically expands our thinking by reducing the activation of our default mode network, shifting us away from egocentric processing. Despite their power, positive SEEs in medical settings remain unpredictable. Only 4.3% of patients change lifestyle habits after heart attacks or strokes. Research found most heart attack survivors become desensitized to wake-up calls within just 1 month, as the brain cannot sustain alarm states. Vision quests, long-form meditation, and properly administered psychedelic therapies can create transformative SEEs, but without supporting habit formation afterward, these peak experiences may lead only to good stories rather than lasting change. Against all odds, a small group of people have found a way to achieve and maintain weight loss long-term by channeling their inner MacGyver, using spontaneity and creative problem-solving instead of rigid goals. These individuals transcend barriers like food deserts, socioeconomic challenges, and caregiving responsibilities through a dual-duty mindset, experimentation and iteration. Rather than setting smart goals with pass-fail metrics, they practice new actions with curiosity, then tweak, tinker, and adapt when they hit obstacles. Cognitive flexibility, the ability to adapt thoughts and behaviors to changing environments, is a critical MacGyver tool. Recent neuroscience has identified brain regions responsible for this flexibility, including the striatum and frontal parietal cortex. This adaptability enables problem-solving when unexpected challenges arise. Research shows cognitive flexibility determines stress resilience and is diminished in conditions like OCD and autism spectrum disorders. Another powerful tool is reframing, seeing problems from different perspectives. Carol Dweck's growth mindset versus fixed mindset exemplifies this, teaching that intelligence is learned rather than fixed. MacGyvers use reframing to neutralize setbacks with mantras, like tomorrow is a new day. They view iteration as cleaner fuel for change than performance goals, supporting neuroplasticity and habit formation. All mammals share core emotions, as discovered by neuroscientist Jock Panksepp. He identified 7 main neural networks in the mammalian brain, 3 negative, fear, rage, panic, 3 positive, play, care, lust, and 1 dominant emotion, seeking/searching. This searching instinct is the primary mechanism that gets us unstuck. By provoking curiosity and a search for solutions, we convert defeated individuals into iterators that never fail. When attempting behavior change, people often consider only 2 outcomes, success or failure. However, there are actually 4 predictable outcomes to any change effort: failure to launch, works for a while, disrupted, and level up. Understanding these 4 outcomes helps prevent falling into the no-do gap and enables effective iteration. To help develop more MacGyvers, the Iterates tool provides a framework to generate novel iteration ideas beyond our limited working memory of 4 to 9 items. I, inspiration, motivating yourself or reframing to protect against failure through positive self-talk, visual reminders, or recovery mantras. T, time, manipulating when and how often behaviors occur by changing frequency, time of day, or habit stacking, piggybacking new behaviors onto existing routines. E, environment, making the right behaviors easier and the wrong ones harder by removing temptations, adding visual reminders, or modifying your social network. R, reduce, making behaviors smaller, easier, and more doable through harm reduction approaches like drinking 1 less soda daily or walking to the mailbox instead of around the block. A, add, employing abundance, variety, or challenge to improve habit practice by adding protein to snacks, spice to vegetables, music for motivation, or accountability partners. T, togetherness, recognizing that no one changes alone and finding social support through meetup groups, religious gatherings, neighborhood events, or adventure groups. E, expectations, taking control of the narrative through cognitive flexibility. If I train hard but don't get promoted, I'll be skilled enough to find a better job, or I expect relapses and know how to handle them. S, swaps, substituting alternatives that provide similar sensory experiences without triggering resistance, like wheat bread for white, stevia for sugar, or plant milk for dairy. Iteration is the secret to becoming unstoppable and free. In our pre-iterative mindset world, most people don't understand iteration. They see only surface results. True iterators evolve through life's chapters, adapting their approaches as circumstances change. Nature builds resilience through iteration, and so must we. The way out is to iterate, because iterators never fail. The Dalai Lama reminds us that even small actions can make significant differences. When faced with seemingly insurmountable challenges, we often feel powerless as individuals. But we are more powerful than we think, especially when we unite and iterate our approaches together. Our collective habenula becomes overwhelmed by constant exposure to global problems. We need a balanced approach between naive optimism and nihilistic despair, a medicine bundle combining sobriety and hope grounded in science. Iteration is the essential skill of our time for navigating confusion and large-scale changes. We have control over our reactions to challenges, following in the footsteps of master iterators like Gandhi, King, Mother Teresa, and Mandela, who moved through the world with skillful fluidity. Their effectiveness resembles the Taoist concept of Wu Wei, frictionless, non-interfering action. Without iteration, we remain stuck in stages of grief, while our collective habenula paralyzes us. To overcome collective hopelessness, we must anticipate the natural grief response and design approaches that prevent people from giving up. social movements have historically failed by relying on short-acting emotions like outrage and fear rather than planning for long-term engagement. The environmental movement needs balanced, multi-generational strategies to match corporate interests playing chess while we play checkers. A powerful example emerged at Standing Rock in 2016 when a native elder reframed protesters as water protectors, shifting from victims to purposeful guardians with endurance. This illustrates how iteration prevents surrender when facing seemingly insurmountable challenges. Indigenous wisdom across cultures has long recognized our interconnectedness through concepts like the Ojibwe, Gakina'awia, we are all related, and Lakota, Mita Kuye Oyasin, all my relations. These aren't frivolous philosophies, but essential survival wisdom that has endured for millennia. Today, our need for connection is exploited by outrage-inciting social media algorithms, dividing us into tribes. Yet nature seeks balance. Our fundamental hunger for meaningful connection will eventually overcome superficial dopamine fixes. Today's concentration of power in the hands of a few tech billionaires is unprecedented. Zuckerberg controlling information for over 3 billion people, TikTok influencing 1.7 billion users, Musk dominating global internet access with Starlink satellites, Gates becoming America's largest farmland owner. This imbalance exists because everyday people surrender their power through failure disease and habanula-triggered helplessness. What energizes us should be empowering the masses, believing most people are fundamentally good and share common values, wanting to live by the golden rule, be authentic, and create a healthy world for future generations. The solution is to practice reframing and iterating, as demonstrated by the Standing Rock Water Protectors, who designed against collective habanula activation. We can break free from isolation, addiction, distraction, and fear to become undaunted collaborators for a better future. Three approaches can help. Incorporate iteration into organizational processes to build cognitive flexibility. Think in 500-year blocks, drawing from Ojibwe wisdom rather than short-term quarters, and adopt clear, compassionate social technologies that avoid partisan traps and drama triangles of victim-persecutor-rescuer dynamics. With the neuroscience of the habanula now understood, we can neutralize failure, adopt an iterative mindset, and become truly unstoppable, not just as individuals, but as a collective force for positive change in the world.